The Boy Scout motto is be prepared. Boy Scouts aren't much of a thing anymore, I don't guess, but you know, a Boy Scout carried a big backpack because they wanted to be prepared for everything. They had to have that backpack full so that they were ready. I was, like I said, I was a Boy Scout in 1973. I went to the National Jamboree in Idaho, and there were 60,000 Boy Scouts there. Can you imagine that? And one night, the comedian Bob Hope, and see, none of these people, I don't even know who that is. You know what I'm saying? Some of you do, though. Bob Hope was there. He was a big deal back then, and he spoke one night. But I learned a long, long time ago that when you hike out into the woods in the middle of nowhere and there's nothing there, like no running water, no toilets, no electricity, nothing, but only what you carried with you, you want to be prepared. I'm just saying, you just think about it. I want to tell you, you want to be prepared. And I just want you to understand that we need to be prepared in this life. Yeah. Just continuing on with the Boy Scout theme here for a minute. There was a Boy Scout and three other passengers on a small airplane. And the pilot comes out of the cockpit and he says, there's something wrong with the plane. It's going down. We're going to have to leave the plane and parachute out. He said, the problem is there's five of us and there's only four parachutes. And with that, he grabbed a parachute and he jumped out of the plane. And then a man stood up and he said, well, I'm a doctor and I think I've got the cure for cancers. So for the sake of the world, I've got to take one. And he grabbed one and he jumped out of the plane. And then another man stood up and he said, look, I'm the smartest man in the world. And for the sake of humanity, it would just be too great of a loss for me to die in a crash. So with that, he grabbed one and jumped out of the plane. And that left a Boy Scout and a priest. And the priest said, now, young man, you go ahead and take that last parachute because I've lived a long life and I'm ready to go be with the Lord. And the Boy Scout said, Father, you don't understand. Don't worry about it. The smartest man in the world just jumped out of the plane with my backpack. Yeah. I like that story. I'm just saying. Be prepared. We really do need to be prepared. You know, you don't get prepared for something by accident. It's always on purpose when you're really prepared. We have all kinds of excuses for why we're not prepared for something. I mean, we might say, well, you just can't be prepared for everything, and that's true. But the bigger issue is that so much of the time, we just don't do what we should in order to be prepared. Okay, one more for fun. One guy called his wife, and he said, honey, I've got tickets for the show. She said, oh, that's great. I'll start getting ready. He said, that'd be good because it's tomorrow night. Sorry, ladies. Hey, my wife thought it was funny. Be prepared. So here we go. We need to be prepared for whatever God wants to do. It's amazing to me how often that people want God to do things, and maybe they're even praying about said things, you know, asking God to do something, but they're not prepared for the answer. They're not prepared for the blessing or the miracle. They haven't made room for what they're asking God for. Let me give you an example from the scripture where somebody made room and got ready for the blessing. In 2 Kings chapter 4, there's a widow who was completely broke. She had no money left and she owed a great debt, and the creditors are gonna come and make her sons slaves. But Elisha tells her to go and gather as many vessels, as many jars as she can, and she gets those, and then he tells her, now you and your sons shut yourself up in a room and you start pouring what little oil you have, you start pouring it into those vessels, into those jars until they're all full. And she did that, and she had enough money to pay off all of her debts and for them to live on. Here's the thing though, she was willing to make room. She got prepared for the blessing that was gonna come. And I just wanna tell you that in our lives, when we're praying, we need to be prepared for God to do what we're actually asking him to do. We need to make room for it. And we need to be prepared for whatever God wants to do. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I'll do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. He says, I'm going to do a new thing. You know, I hear a lot of people wanting God to do some old things. And he certainly can, and sometimes he does that. But you know that so often God doesn't do things the way he did yesteryear. He does a new thing. And a lot of times people are not ready. They are not prepared for what God wants to do. Right. A lot of times it's because we just want to stay in our comfort zone. God wants to do a new thing, and we would just like it better if he would do what we're comfortable with. But we need to be prepared for what God wants to do in our lives. And the only way we can really do that is we need to be, don't know how else to say it, prayed up. I mean, we need to be praying and seeking the Lord. And you know, when we do that, God will show us. He'll give us insight in what he wants us to do. He says here, he says, shall you not know it? And I want to tell you, God will show us, we can know it. If we'll pray and talk to the Lord, he'll give us direction. But notice here again, new things. So yes, new things, new direction that he might want to take us to, and maybe new people. Okay. But we got to make preparation. You know, we need, as a church, we need to always be making preparation for a harvest. Let me tell you how the harvest comes in. Well, first, he said to pray that the Lord of the harvest will send workers into the field. Then Jesus makes it clear that, listen, he says, the harvest is white. The harvest is ready. The harvest is ready, y'all. Yeah, right. Sometimes I hear people, you know, they talk about a burnover field, or you know, it's just a hard place to win anybody. I want to tell you, I'm going to take Jesus' word for it. There's a harvest that's ready. That's right. And the issue is are we ready? Because when those laborers go out into the field, then also we got to be ready to disciple people. We got to be prepared to disciple people, because I got to tell you, it doesn't do them a whole lot of good if we just pray with them, but then we don't teach them what it is to truly follow the Lord and live the life that we've been called to live. We got to be prepared for that. Amen. Isaiah 54 and 2, he says, enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. Are you ready for growth? We got room in here, don't we? Yeah. But we need to be prepared, not just that we got a chair. Are you ready? Sunday, now this isn't a thing on Wednesday, but on a Sunday sometime, strangers might come in and get your seat. Who are these people? Don't they know this is where our group sits? Are you prepared for that? I'm just telling you, we need to be prepared for the harvest. It's really funny to me how sometimes people can be just totally clueless about what the Lord is doing. I'm going to go back in time before most of you won't, you weren't here or you weren't part of the church at this time, but I want to tell you the story though. Back in 2006, we purchased this property that we're on, but we were in an old building in Fort Worth, and we sold that building. We purchased this property and we sold that building. There was no building here, so we didn't move here. But we had 6 months to get out of that building. And so for 6 months, we talked about how that we're going to be making this transition. We're going to move into a school for a period of time, and then we're eventually going to get a building built and all this. And we talked about this for 6 months. And by the way, the church had been talking off and on about moving for over 20 years. They talked about it. And so for this 6 month period, hey, we sold this building, we're moving, y'all. We're going to be, and then the Sunday before that we're moving, I said, okay, next Sunday, y'all, we'll be in the school. People come up to me after the service and said, "You mean we're not going to be here anymore? We've been talking about it for 6 months. We're going where?" And here's the sad thing. Some of them didn't make the transition. I mean, a good number of people, they didn't make the transition. They were so unaware. They were not prepared for what God was doing with this church. I'm just telling you that most of the time, you see, if we're listening, God will communicate to us somehow what he wants to do. And we need to be prepared for whatever God wants to do. You know, it just requires personal growth on our part sometimes. It's part of the prayer of Jabez, 1 Chronicles 4:10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory." What if God just gave you exactly what you're asking for? Sometimes it's uncomfortable. When I was 18, I know the Lord called me into ministry. He put in my heart such a desire that I just could never, ever be satisfied doing anything else. And for 3 years, I just had this ache to be a youth pastor. Went to Bible school, did everything I could, working with young people. And then finally, you know, I started being a youth pastor, making $0, making that big money. And, well, 3 months later, I got paid $100 a week to clean the church. But anyway, that's another story. But here's what happened, though. When I became the youth pastor, you know, I've been waiting on this 3 years, and it seemed like an eternity for me. But then I found myself on my knees in my office crying out to God, because I felt like I didn't have a clue what to do. You know, all this time I've been thinking I was ready and I was ready, but then when it came, I found out I wasn't as ready as I thought I was. Well, here's the thing, God helped me, but even as much as I had thought I prepared, I wasn't really ready for what God wanted to do. And I just have to tell you that, you see, we need to try to prepare and get ready for whatever it is God has for us. I mean, think about the children of Israel when the first time they come to the promised land, they didn't go in. They weren't ready. They weren't prepared. They listened to the wrong voices and they missed what God has had for them. Be prepared for what God wants to do. Next, we need to be prepared to be used of God. 1 Peter 3:15 in the NIV says it this way: always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. Be prepared to give an answer to everyone for the hope that you have. This is not just for preachers. This is for all of us. All of us need to be prepared to tell others about our faith and about how God changed our life. You don't have to know a whole lot of scripture to be able to tell somebody what God did in your life. You know, a brand new believer can go out and witness to their friends, tell them what the Lord did in their life, like the woman at the well in John chapter 4 that Jesus ministered to. She goes back into town and tells all the people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. And the whole town comes out to see Jesus. A new believer can do that. But at the same time, we should all want to grow and want to learn more so that we can be more effective and do more for God. And I just want to encourage you that, to be prepared. You know, I think sometimes even preachers use faith as a cop-out for not really being prepared for God to use them. I mean, the pastor that gets up and says, well, you know, didn't have time to prepare this week, so we're just going to have to trust the Holy Spirit. What are you doing the other times? We're always trusting the Holy Spirit. And I've talked to people before. I know one person told me one time, they said they were real upset with their pastor because they said, he's got his sermons all planned out for the year and, you know, there's no room for the Holy Spirit to work. Now, here's what I got to tell you about that. The Holy Spirit always, always has the right to take things in whatever direction he wants to. But saying that the Holy Spirit doesn't know what's coming down the road is pretty foolish. The Holy Spirit, he's a God of order, and he is well able. He knows what's down the road, and he's well able to help us prepare for what's coming. And so I'm picking on preachers a little bit, but you see, what I'm saying to all of us is that we need to be prepared for God to use us and not use faith as some kind of a cop-out for not being ready. I mean, we should trust the Holy Spirit. We trust the Holy Spirit to help us be prepared for the opportunity that God gives us. See, faith doesn't mean you don't prepare. It means you believe God's going to use you, so you prepare to be used. And if you're going to be prepared to be used of God, I want to encourage you to get in God's Word. You can't share what you don't have. You can't give what you haven't received. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You need to know what the Bible says. You need to be ready to help somebody else, to share with somebody else. I don't want to miss this in here. You know, old Noah, he had faith. The Bible lists him of the heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. He had faith, but he didn't just save his family by having faith. He had faith, so he built an ark. He prepared to save his family. And it took him a long time, and it was a lot of work, but he prepared it by faith. And what I'm saying to you, see, is yes, whatever we're going to do something for God, yes, you got to prepare for that and be ready for God to use you. I mean, whatever we do for the Lord, we want to do with excellence. Whatever it is. I mean, if you're teaching four-year-olds, if you're playing on the worship team, serving as an usher, you want to prepare so that you do the best job you can. Whatever you do for the Lord, you want to do your very best. I mean, can you imagine what the worship team would be like if they didn't ever practice or prepare and they all just came out here and played? Y'all be going to a different church. Amen. I love the worship here. I want to tell you, I appreciate our worship team so much. But you know, yeah. But you know, some people think, oh, it don't matter, just play. You know, I don't know where those ideas came from, but they didn't come from the Bible. Did you know Psalm 33:3 says to play skillfully? And I want to tell you, the best musicians in the world ought to be the Lord's musicians. Just saying. But whatever you do, you want to be prepared to do your very best. I want to help you get prepared to be used by God. Did you know that's part of my job? Ephesians 4:11-12, the NIV, it says it this way. It was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. The New King James says the work of the ministry instead of works of service. Did you know it's the same thing? The same Greek word that's translated as ministry is also translated as service. Same Greek word that's translated as minister is translated as servant. And Matt talked about serving last week, and it's so much a part of our life as a believer. And you know, here he talks about the fivefold ministry, preparing God's people for works of service or the work of the ministry. And you know, work is a four-letter word in our country. And a lot of people don't really understand that ministry involves work, whatever it is, whatever ministry, there's going to be work involved. And it's not easy. If it was easy, everybody would do it. And I'm going to tell you, not everybody's doing it. But we need to be prepared for those works of ministry, to serve in some way. Works of service. Well, maybe I could serve in an advisory capacity. You know, be in charge. But to be used of God, to be prepared to be used by God, the first thing we need to do is spend time in the Word and in prayer. And then we need to be good stewards of whatever abilities God gives us. And everybody has different abilities. I mean, there's some that are easier to identify, like the worship team and people that are up front. You can see that gift, that ability. But every single person has gifts and abilities that God can use, and we need to make the best of those abilities to use them for the Lord and be effective at whatever He gives us to do. Amen. Remember, we're working for the King of Kings. Be ready, be prepared to be used by God. Next, there's always going to be unexpected things in life that maybe we might say, well, you can't be prepared for everything, but we can be prepared for life. Here's how I'm going to put this. Yeah, well, you can actually be ready, be prepared for storms. Every day's not sunshine, amen? There's going to be storms in life, and we need to be prepared for the storms of life. I'm going to tell you a little story I've told a few times over the years, but there's a farmer on the Atlantic seacoast, and he was advertising for a hired hand. It was hard to get hired hands in this area because they had terrible storms. And finally, a little short, thin man, past middle age, showed up, and he applied for the job, and the farmer just asked him. He said, so are you a good farmhand? And he said, I can sleep when the wind blows. And the farmer didn't really know what that was about, but he didn't have any other applicants. So he hired the man, and the man was busy from dusk to dawn, just taking care of everything, and you know, seemed like he was doing a good job. But then one night, there was a bad storm blowing in, and the farmer ran out to the hired hand's quarters, and he said, get up, there's a storm coming, you got to get up, get everything tied down and get everything ready. And he just turned over in his bed and said, I told you I can sleep when the wind blows. Well, the farmer wanted to fire him on the spot, but he decided he better take care of things. So he ran out and he looks and all the haystacks are covered. The cows are shut up in the barn. The chickens are all put up in the coop. Everything is locked down and everything's put away. There's nothing to do. And then he finally understood why the man said, I can sleep when the wind blows. And I'm just telling you that, you see, we can prepare for the storms of life. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Are you ready for a storm? So many get disillusioned and shrink back in their faith when a battle comes because, you know, they think that's not part of the way it's supposed to be. But we do people a disservice if we act like that, well, you know, if you just accept the Lord, all your problems are all going to go away. Oh, my goodness. There's still troubles. But in all these things, we are more than conquerors. So many people wait until their world is falling apart to get serious about serving God. And I'm so thankful that God is gracious and he will help us when we cry out to him. But how much better when we're prepared for the storms of life. And we do that by building our lives on the word of God. Matthew chapter 7 verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. It's amazing how people will deceive themselves into thinking that they don't have to obey the scripture. Jesus straight up says, if you hear my sayings, you hear my words, and you do them, your life is going to be like a house built on the rock that when the storm comes, it's going to stand. Amen. But if you don't do them, when the storm comes, it's all going to crash. How can you be prepared for the storms of life? You live your life according to the word of God. You do what the scripture says. Yes, you're still going to have battles. You're still going to have storms. But this is how you prepare for the storm. Amen. How are you going to handle a teenage typhoon? I'm going to tell you right now, as a pastor, this is how you handle the teenage typhoon. You deal with the 2-year-old tornado. Now, I know if you've already got a teenage typhoon, that's not what you want to hear, what you need to hear. And as I said a minute ago, yes, we serve a miracle-working God, and he can still turn things around. But I'm just telling you, listen, the best way to head that off, how do you prepare for the teenage years? It's what you do when they're two. A lot of parents, they think that they're so good of a parent. Now, you're here on Wednesday night, so I'm not picking on you. But they think they're such a good parent that they don't need to take their kid to church. My kid will be just fine without church. And pride goes before destruction. This is how you prepare. You train them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. It's the only way to be prepared for the storm. Let's talk about, and I'm just hitting a few areas tonight, but let's talk about storms financially. Be a wise steward over what God blesses you with, no matter how much or how little. Be a wise steward. Proverbs tells us that we should learn from the ants. Don't be dumber than ants, right? I mean, even ants know to store up food in the good times. And here's what happens with a lot of people. When financial storms come, they don't have anything in the bank. You need to be prepared. And the way you do that is you store up during the good times. Got that tax return check? What am I going to do? Oh, man. What am I going to buy? How about you put that in the bank for a rainy day, also known as a stormy day? Now, Pastor, that's just no fun. I was going to buy me a new toy. This is how you prepare. Be as smart as an ant and put it back for a stormy day. All right, now the pastor's really going to go to meddling. Here it comes. Here it comes. Be obedient to the word of God in your tithes. When you do that, I'll tell you, God will take care of you no matter what's going on with the economy. The Lord says that he will rebuke the devourer for your sake. And there is a devourer. There are storms that come, but God will rebuke the devourer for your sake. And I'm going to say it again. I'm going to say this every time I talk about the tithe. The reason that people don't tithe is not because you don't have to. It's because they don't believe the promise. Because if you believe the promise, who cares if you have to? If he's going to open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings you can't contain and rebuke the devourer for your sake, who cares if you have to? That's not the issue. It's that they don't believe the promise. But if you believe the promise, then yes, yes, you want to be in on that deal. These are just two little areas I mentioned tonight, but I'm just going to tell you, you see, you build your life on the word of God. That's how you prepare for storms. They're still coming, but you're going to be just fine. Next, we need to be prepared for a fight. We talked about this just a couple of weeks ago on a Wednesday night. We are in a spiritual battle, and we need to be prepared for the good fight of faith. You need to be prepared to fight against the devil, the adversary of your soul. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Be sober, be vigilant, be alert, be ready. You have an adversary. A lot of people, even Christian people, have the attitude, they just stick their head in the sand. Like maybe if I don't acknowledge the devil, if I just act like he's not real, then maybe you better get ready, because he's walking about seeking whom he may devour. He's always looking for an opportunity to take advantage of you. Be prepared. Be prepared for his scheme. See, you got to stay prayed up again. You know, Jesus told the disciples to pray so they wouldn't fall into temptation. And we need to be prayed up so that we're ready for a fight. You know, a couple of weeks ago when I shared that last message called Stand, about standing against the wiles of the devil, we talked about how you got to put on the whole armor of God so that you're ready. See, that's how you prepare for that evil day. Remember, there's an evil day that's coming. Yes, you got to be prepared for the evil day when you are under attack or your loved one is under attack. How are you prepared for that day? You put on that whole armor of God. You know, Jesus was ready when Satan came to tempt him. And even when Satan tried to twist the word of God, Jesus was ready with the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. And see, we need to be armed and ready when we face off in that spiritual battle. Again, you need the word of God to be prepared for that. And we got to have the shield of faith with which you quench all the fiery darts of the devil. Your adversary, yes, he's going to attack you. But what will quench his darts is the shield of faith. And I just want to say this. You know, yes, The Word of God builds your faith, but you need to be wise about the voices that you listen to. If you listen to doubt and unbelief and negative things, it just undermines your faith. You need to keep your faith strong so that in those that evil day, you're prepared, you're ready. Amen. Next and last, we need to be prepared for when the Lord comes again. I suppose it needs to be said, first and foremost, we need to know the Lord and we need to be right with God. The last chapter of the scriptures, some of the very last words of Jesus in the whole Bible, Revelation 22 and 12, he says, "Behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work." Here's the word of the Lord to you and me. I'm coming quickly, and I have a reward to give to everyone. Let's make it personal. I have a reward to give to you according to your work. When we get to heaven, it's not like the cartoons where you're floating around on a cloud and some beautiful angel is feeding you grapes. And neither is it like some people imagine that everybody will just have the same reward. There is nothing like that anywhere in the Bible. But what is in the scripture over and over and over is that we will receive a reward according to what we have done. We need to be prepared for eternity. Are you ready? I've said this before, and it's still true. I'm not ready yet. I'm not saying I'm not right with God. I love his appearing, and I want him to come soon, but I'm just saying I got more to do. How about you? 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." You see, all unbelievers will appear at the great white throne judgment to be judged because they didn't receive the Lord Jesus Christ. But all believers will appear at the judgment seat of Christ to be judged for reward. So what do? We give it our best to make ready for that day, that we'll be prepared to stand before our Lord and give an account. Colossians 3, 23 through 25. "Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done. There is no partiality." You see, this is how you prepare for eternity. Whatever you do it heartily. You give it your all. Because whatever you do in this life is going to determine your reward in the next. It's one thing to not have much in this world. It's just a passing vapor. But eternity is a long time. And how sad it is in Corinthians. It talks about how that some will be saved, yet so as by fire, that they will be saved but have no reward. What a tragedy. And so I say to you tonight, be prepared. be prepared for the Lord's coming, that you're giving it, you're all working, serving Him. And you know, and if it sounds too selfish to want a reward, I always put it this way. I read in Revelation where there's coming a day where they all cast their crowns at the feet of Jesus. I don't know about you, but I want to have a crown to be able to cast at the feet of my Savior. I don't want to be standing there empty-handed. And so we always do our best for Him. Work, work till He comes. That when He comes, He finds us working. Luke 12:42-43, and the Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes." We want the Lord to find us working, serving for Him, living for Him, doing what He wants us to do. When He comes, we're busy about the Master's business. Let's be prepared for what God wants to do. Let's be prepared to be used of God. Let's be prepared for the storms of life. Let's be prepared for a fight. And let's be prepared when He comes again. Stand with me.